I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Victory Monday on the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we are at Chickies in South Philly. Ike, the Eagles go to 6-2 with a victory over the Jaguars. How are we feeling?
Victory!
Keep going!
Woo!
Eagles fly.
Turn it up!
On the road to victory, fight, Eagles, fight, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Where's Jack?
Jack.
Hit him low,
hit him high,
watch our Eagles fly, fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory,
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
All right, here we are. Chickies and Pete's, Packer Ave. Brandon and Graham show is at 6. Players Lounge is at 7 with Jordan Mailata, this week's guest. So Eagles go to 6-2 yesterday with a victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there are days here in Philadelphia after Eagles wins where they win and everybody's mad. There are days for that. And there are days where that's appropriate and there are days where that is not appropriate. It seems to be happening today, and I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think this is one of those days. That win yesterday over the Jacksonville Jaguars was a good win. I want you to put the final score out of your head and understand that here's a Jacksonville Jaguars team that was desperate, that plays a lot of good teams close, and it was a sort of a trap game spot for the Eagles in between a big game against Cincinnati and then going to Dallas. They dominated on offense. They played well on defense. If Saquon Barkley, if that fumble call gets called the right way, they blow out the Jaguars. And here seems to be the biggest part, the biggest like source of consternation for everybody. It is Nick Sirianni. And everyone just sits around waiting to be mad at Nick Sirianni. That's what we do every week. That is our experience as Eagles fans, as everybody waits for the game, waits for them to win, and waits for one or two things they don't like in the entire game to explode about Nick Sirianni. And it is just wrong today. I don't think this is a game where you walk away from a win like that and being like, I'm mad at Nick, I'm mad at Nick, I'm mad at Nick. There were probably 7 different times where he made a decision to go for something or made a decision that it could have gone either way, that I would have understood, hey, if you decided this or you decided that. But him going for it on 4th down on the opponent's 25-yard line where there's 3 yards to go, that is not a bad decision. That is a decision where you're going to get 8 or 9 possessions a game. You need to score touchdowns. And your offense, while good right now, is not particularly dynamic. So you and they're going these drives are going to open like use a ton of time on the clock. You need to score touchdowns. I can see 2 situations where he did something that I wouldn't have done. When they were up 16-0 and they decided to go for 2, didn't seem to make any sense to me as far as the numbers go. And when they were in that final possession and they decided to kick a 57-yard field goal, I would have just gone for it or punted it at that point. Kicking the field goal doesn't really change anything. You get the first down, it ends the game. You punt it, you put them all the way back, and then they have to drive the entire field. But today is not a day to be mad at Nick Sirianni. And I think that the preconceived notion that everyone has, that I had at one point, that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he's a moron, that he's just waiting to screw things up. You're just going to need to push that out of your head or you're not going to enjoy the year. That was a good win yesterday. You're not going to win every game by 25 points. There's a difference between that game yesterday and the Browns game. There's just a difference. There was a reason to be annoyed after the Browns game. I do not see a reason to be annoyed after that game. So if you're going to spend the rest of your existence waiting for Nick Sirianni to screw up so you can be mad, you're going to be miserable. I think it was a good win. The Eagles should be, you know, congratulated for the win, and we move on to Dallas, and that's how I feel about it.
You good?
Yeah. I'm just like, get off the guy's case.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, you know, I've been a big Nick Sirianni supporter really since the time he's been here. Really, I mean, from the flower speech and that point on moving forward. But yet yesterday, here's where yesterday, and here's why I disagree with you, because you're looking at every individual moment and making reason and logic out of it. But it's a totality of the mindset and being aggressive versus not being aggressive and coaching with a gut feel as opposed to coaching on analytics. So a lot of this consternation comes from multiple situations where this may have either cost you a game or you certainly made the game harder than it should be. And what happens is people are afraid that this is what's going to be the downfall of the team, ultimately. Again, I like Nick Sirianni. So whether it's his decision to go for it on fourth down, to go for these two-point conversions, or it's a collective decision with a bunch of data and analytics that supports it and encourages it, there's also a thought in my mind that this could cost us at some point. This could cost us at some point. That was a beautiful game yesterday for 2.5 quarters. And the only things that really crept up in our mind were going for it on fourth down, going for two-point conversions when you didn't really need to, and you started chasing points. That's while it was still 22-0. The wheels hadn't even started to fall off yet. So even when it was 22-0, there was already questions as to decisions that he had made that we still were fortunate to be up 22-0 because we were playing that Jags team. It was a good win. You're right in that sense. Here's where I get frustrated as an Eagles fan. I can't enjoy what spectacular play that was happening on the field from players because of this stuff. You can't enjoy the Eagles game. You can't tell me you enjoyed that game yesterday. Now, you enjoyed the outcome because we won. But until N'Kobe Dean picked that pass off, you realize what this city was headed for today?
Oh, I'm aware. But I don't enjoy anything.
I'm saying it's hard for when you say you're almost saying we should appreciate or celebrate Nick Sirianni for yesterday's win.
No,
I can't feel that.
What I'm saying is that I agree with his decision to be aggressive the large part of the time. I think when you get into trouble is when you start trying to decide, well, I didn't get it last time, so I can't do it this time. Like if they're not – we have the tush push, right? Mm-hmm. We have this play that has been essentially a guaranteed yard for the last – 3 years. It works every single time. So he decides to go for 2 points when we have the ball on the 1 yard line. It doesn't work. And all of a sudden, everybody's mad at Nick because it didn't work. And by the way, one of them, I think it did work. And the call was just wrong.
Sure.
I felt like Jalen Hurts got
it. Questionable.
Yeah. I think there's too many times where we won a Super Bowl talking about big balls, Doug, right? Mm-hmm. And then we went to another Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni being aggressive and going for it. And I know part of it is numbers, but the numbers are a real thing, you know, and I think a lot of times we say, well, you don't have any feel for the game and you shouldn't have gone for it there when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And when it's,
that matters.
Well, it does, but when it's 4th and 3 and Jalen Hurts has A.J. Brown wide open, mm-hmm. and Jalen misses him, mm-hmm. well, that's on Jalen, not on Nick. And
yeah.
we can't get mad at Nick because Jalen didn't throw a good pass.
I agree
there.
With that, but it didn't work as the result. So you're already in a game where there's been multiple opportunities to go for it on fourth down and it hasn't worked. He took a point off the board just because they got a penalty and went for it and didn't work the second time. You had a chance to be up 3 scores. You had a chance to go up 17-0. Instead, it's a 2-score game. What's the advantage of trying to make it 18-0?
I agree with you on that one. The problem is what you're saying is right. It's not just that one that everybody's talking about. It's the totality.
Yes.
Of them. And the totality. And I would agree. Hey, Nick, I don't want to be looking at it because the numbers don't say to go for it when you're up 16-0. The numbers would say to take
the
one point
goal, yes.
and go up 3 scores. I agree with you. And at the end of the day, Nick can't
get the extra point, not the field
yes.
goal.
Yes. And at the end of the day, Nick, that one is enough. But I think the problem is that everyone is grouping that one in with other ones that I think he was correct on. And I don't think there were – people walked away from that going like, well, Nick Sirianni cost us 9 points. Nick Sirianni did not cost us 9 points. Like the tush push
didn't – left 9 points out there that he could have had.
Sure, but the other side of that is that could have been, you know, 20 points. Those 9 points could have been more points if we executed the things we needed to execute. Like, look, I'm not trying to be Howard in saying that, look, it was the right decision. The players just didn't do their job. But in the case of the tush push, that we got beat. We got beat on a play that always works for us.
We ran a damn bootleg. We rolled out to throw the ball on the tush push.
On fourth and inch.
That's what I'm saying. We're getting too cute with it. Now, they didn't stop the tush push.
Right.
We got afraid because they had stopped the tush push earlier and decided to run a variation of the play where we rolled to the outside and it didn't work. It didn't work. That's what I'm saying. And we did all this stuff when we had the lead, and it was unnecessary to do there. That was an opportunity to kick a field goal, and we didn't kick the field goal.
I guess my point is
he made that game harder than it needed to be yesterday. You got to admit that.
I think the two decisions I would have taken back are going for two when they were up 16-0. I thought that was just flat out the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the game, I wouldn't have kicked a 57-yard field goal there because you're still only up one score. I would have just gone for it really, at the end of the day, they're going to have better field position if you kick the field goal as opposed to you just going for it.
Now, see, I love the legend, Jake Elliott. Love the legend.
Yes.
Has he made a 50-plus yard field goal this year?
I think he's 0 for 3 now, I believe.
Exactly.
Right.
And it was a slippery field yesterday for some reason.
Yeah, I thought that was the wrong decision. I agree with you. That was the wrong decision.
And that's what I'm saying. But why is this? So in that situation, if he's going to be aggressive, see, that's what I'm saying. Something isn't connecting here. And this is where there's more information available.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Available. I gotta be honest with myself. And I've defended a lot of Nick Sirianni and his decisions. And I still ride with him. But you can't be aggressive all game in those situations when we're saying be conservative, just take the points that are there given to you. And then when you got an opportunity to possibly put the game in the bag, you decide to kick a 57-yard field goal. Like you just said, the worst-case scenario happened. We missed it, and you cut half the field off for the Jags to go down there and score. Why wouldn't you go for it on fourth down there?
Because I think he's worried about what people will say,
that's even worse.
No, I agree.
That's even worse.
I agree that he needs
that's
to tune worse. Everything out, and if he's going to be the go-for-it guy, then be the go-for-it guy.
But see, Mike, this is what I'm saying. This is why you have to be understanding of people who are frustrated with it or nervous about him or upset at him. Because the consistency isn't always there. You go back to the Super Bowl in 2022. He's aggressive all year. We get in the Super Bowl. We don't go for it on 4th and 6 from the 15-yard line. We kick a field goal.
I know, but the difference is when he does one thing wrong, it's fire him. But when Saquon decides to I think you can criticize the decisions he made without making it a condemnation of everything he did that day and everything he is as a coach. Like when Saquon hits the ground instead of running for the first down, when nobody goes back and goes, that was a bad Saquon game because he made that wrong decision right there.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
That was a terrible decision because we love Saquon right now and he's playing too well and people don't want to bring up negative things that happens that pertains to him. Are you kidding me? Saquon, go get the damn first down.
Go get the first down.
That's twice.
Yes.
That's twice this year. That's
it
twice.
Is. And he had the drop in the red zone, which was...
I'm okay with the drop. Drops happen.
Okay.
That was under his control where he decided to go down. Like, you got to go get the first down.
Yes. 215-592-9494.
Okay. I sat feeling like I had to get that out there.
Are people
Saquon.
Are people overreacting about Nick Sirianni and the criticism of his decisions yesterday? Jack, where are you on this?
Where you at, Fritz?
No, I think I know.
Of course they're not overreacting.
Of course they are.
Because we all have the same feeling. The Eagles are in a good spot. The Eagles are playing better football. That's evident. But
thanks to Nick.
That's highly debatable. It is.
Do you see that? That's the problem, though.
I don't know what you want me to do. I don't think he's a great coach. I'm sorry.
I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that you should think he's a great coach. But everything they do well, you attribute to somebody else.
I attribute it to the players. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Do you see that's a problem?
They played well yesterday, and he almost cost them the game. I mean, that's a game that would have been a monumental loss.
But them playing well is also on him.
They get credit for playing well. Sure.
He gets credit.
I never said fire Nick.
Well.
I'm not saying fire Nick. I mean, eventually we'll get there, but I'm saying as of right now, it's hard not to leave that game feeling like he's going to blow it in a big game. I don't care what they beat the Jags yesterday. Congratulations. The Jags suck, and they have the worst passing defense in the league. Congratulations. That game was made close for absolutely no reason. You can bring up the fumble, sure. Even after that, have a little feel for a football game. You want to go back to the Saints game? I mean, the Saints game was all over the place with some of his decisions. The Falcons game, you guys thought it was right to throw the ball. I wanted to run the ball.
Okay with it,
but that's a simple game management thing. There are game management issues. There's been game management issues with him this year, last year, and going to the Super Bowl. So it's one of these things that a lot of things are going right, and that's great. They pulled themselves out of the doldrums.
Just magically.
They started playing. Like,
just magically.
What did he do?
Just magically.
What did he do?
No, what did he do? He's the head coach of the football team.
Congratulations.
So when they are
playing better. It's so easy to say, oh, he's the head coach of the football team.
No.
Magically, they're better. Like, what does he do? What does he do? Like, all I care about is decisions yesterday. All that matters is the decisions yesterday.
You don't know all of his decisions. That's the problem. You are attributing the ones you don't like to him.
You don't have
and
a bad
Jalen, if on fourth and three, Jalen throws the ball where it's supposed to be and A.J. Brown scores a touchdown,
sure,
then all of a sudden this is not a conversation, right? If the tush push gets called the way it should have, where Jalen crosses the goal line, then all of a sudden we're not having this conversation anymore.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying? You're putting all of this on him, but you're not putting any of their turnaround on him, and he's the head coach of the football team.
I think he gets some credit for the turnaround. Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. 215-592.
I don't care.
215-592-9494.
There were some spectacular plays in that game.
I'm just saying. We'll get to those.
Okay.
We got to fight about Nick first, and then we'll get to all that.
Okay.
Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, I ain't fighting about Nick. Hey, I look forward. Nick Sirianni is my coach. I know everybody got agendas out here. All want to listen. Did he have some bad decisions yesterday? 100%.
No big deal. No big deal.
This is my call. Let me do my call. but Spike is right. Jalen Hurts, you got to get the ball out in front of A.J. Brown. That's the first down, right? Saquon Barkley. Hey, man, we all know Saquon, you a beast, dog. You the coldest brother on the field. But you know you're from a loser organization. You went to Penn State. We know they losers. We know they lose. And then you were the Giants. So somebody got teach Saquon. You got to pick up the first down there. It's the second time he done did that, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yesterday we had a Jahan Dawson sighting.
How about
all
that?
Right. Yeah.
What a catch!
This is what
an
I will
underthrow
say.
By the quarterback.
And this is what I will say. Look. This game yesterday, in 2022, when we went to the Super Bowl, we had a lot of games like this. The Cardinals game. The Jaguars game in 2022 was carbon copy identical, but instead of in the Kobe Dean interception, we had a Hassan Reddick strip set. So what I like is the Falcons game, the defense was just Swiss cheese, right? The defense showed resilience. That's what I've been talking about all year. Complimentary football. When your offense ain't got getting it done, defense, I need you to step up. And vice versa. And we got that yesterday. I ain't got no negativity. Y'all can have a cause. But listen, funeral is coming on Sunday. We looking forward, guys. Wear your black. We going to put these boys in a coffin come Sunday. Funeral time on the season. That's all I got, baby. Go Birds!
Corey's already on to the Dallas game.
Of course he is.
Already looking forward to the Dallas game. Now, there's no Dak. CeeDee Lamb's also hurt, I saw.
Yep.
So this is a perfect spot. The Cowboys are falling apart, bickering. Owner is saying he still believes in the team when he clearly doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect spot for us to go and lose in Dallas.
No way.
The line is sevens, though.
Seven.
Yes.
Six and a half, seven. So yeah. JR and Bluebell, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, JR?
What's up, JR?
Hey, I gotta tell you guys, I love the show. The camaraderie between you guys is remarkable. It comes through so loud and clear. I love the fact that you guys can have fun and bust each other's stones and still respectful at the end of the day. It's a great listen.
Where's
really
the butt? Where's the butt?
Yeah, best call of the day.
Oh, appreciate it.
No butts, Jack. No butts. Hey, wanted to talk about elevate out of yesterday's game and just talk about the maturity of the defense. I mean, the linebacker play that we're getting from Vaughn and Dean is some of the best linebacker play I've seen in forever. And that coupled with the emergence of a young cornerback, I mean, the guy they picked up from the Bills, I mean, they got a lot of youth and a lot of hungry guys in that defense. Like, it's coming together for me. Like, I see them growing from there. I think my question is, like, do you think the organization, do you think people like Howie are acknowledging that the power and the effectiveness of having good linebacker play and good young players, giving them that opportunity moving forward? Because I think these guys are, I mean, Dean's going into his fourth year, so he's got a contract coming up. I think Vaughn was a one-year signing. So just wondering what you guys think, if they're going to actually make a commitment to some of these good young players that they have.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Yeah, Nakobe, he may be looking at a deal this offseason because he'll be going into his final year. Next year, and if he continues to play as well as he's playing, the Eagles usually lock up their young players, and so I could see him. Zach Bond may be a little different. I don't know. I mean, because would they pay Zach Bond's on a 1-year deal, right?
He is. I believe.
Yeah. So would they look at paying two linebackers this offseason? The one good thing the Eagles have going for them on that defensive side of the ball is they aren't paying pretty much anybody over there, with the exception of Slay and. CJGJ.
Well, Bryce Huff.
Oh, damn, I forgot about Bryce
Huff.
Yeah,
so did they.
And I forgot about Bryce Huff. Yeah. Yes, I forgot about Bryce Huff.
You know, he didn't play because his hand hurt in warm-ups yesterday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it. But Slay is probably on the last year of his deal, so you're going to free up that cap space. In other words, I think they could wind up keeping Bond here. I definitely know that Nakobe Dean's probably not going anywhere. He's probably, because he's their draft pick. So he's not going anywhere. And if they can get both guys here, yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, depends on how they feel about Jeremiah Jr. moving forward. You know, he'll be in his second year next year. So a lot of this stuff is always cost-cutting. Okay, do you save money here to pay money there? But like I said, they got most of their young players locked up.
And the other thing about the linebackers is – When you look at this, first of all, Vic Fangio deserves, I believe, the players deserve credit, but clearly Vic Fangio deserves a ton of credit.
100%.
The fact that the defense is able to play well with the limited amount of pressure they've been able to get from their edge guys this year, a lot of that is attributed to Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean being able to put pressure not only on the quarterback, but being able to fill gaps and stop the run the way that they have.
Yeah.
You know, those guys have covered up, I think, for really, I would say, average to below average play from the edge. But it's been because of Dean and Bond have been so good at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call, JR.
Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. There we go. Well, coming up.
You got Josh Sweat coming on a little bit.
Yeah. Did he have two sacks yesterday?
Think so.
I thought,
uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, credit to the secondary, because it's not like the Josh Sweat sacks were good, but it's not like he was in the backfield before anybody knew it.
Yeah, it was good coverage.
It was good coverage. Yeah. So coming up next, Dan Orlovsky, guys, has an opinion about Nick Sirianni.
Of course he does.
It's not a positive one,
and
we will play it for you. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or postgame. Chickies is your destination for the Eagles all season long, online at chickiesandpeets.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.